Just to stand together. I'm going to read a scripture. Let's stand together. In Mark chapter 15, verse 16, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, which is known as Praetorium. It was also called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, and they twisted a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. I'd like us to remain standing. Today we are here to remember Jesus' death on the cross. I would like us to close our eyes. And if you could, take your hands and stretch them out as far as you can, side to side, and hold them there. As your hands, and you're holding your hands there, I want to describe a little bit of what happened to Jesus when he was on the cross. Just before the cross, he was betrayed by one of his close disciples. And while he was being rejected, and while he was standing before those who accused him of a crime, another disciple denied him three times. Falsely accused of a crime, mocked, laughed at, rejected, spit on, slapped, hit in the face, pieces of his beard pulled out. He was so severely whipped that parts of the flesh of his back were torn out, and some of his ribs were showing. He was made to carry his own cross on the back that was full of wounds. His hands and feet were nailed to the cross. He was left hanging there in excruciating pain. And while he was slowly dying, people were still making fun of and insulting him. Jesus was nailed to the cross, hanging there from his wrists and his arms, until his muscles began to spasm, cutting off the circulation and making it hard for him to breathe. So he would have to push up on his nail-pierced feet to take the weight off his arm so he could breathe again. But it wouldn't take long until he couldn't stand the excruciating pain in his feet and would collapse, hanging from his wrists and arms again until his muscles began to spasm and he couldn't breathe. This would happen over and over again until he died. You may be seated. This description hardly begins to describe what Jesus faced. In the movie The Passion, if you've ever seen it, there's a scene where Jesus is whipped. And when you first see it, you might even turn your head away because it was so graphic in what happened to him. And it was said that the way it really happened was way worse than that, but it was too graphic to show in the theater. What he suffered, we can't even begin to imagine. In the ancient world, crucifixion was seen as to be extremely painful and disgraceful form of execution of that time. It was considered the most painful and humiliating capital punishment, even more worse than decapitation, being thrown to wild animals, or being burned alive. Crucifixion was way worse than that. Reserved for the worst of the worst. When someone was hung on the cross, their weight, as I described, would hang on their wrists and their arms and creating spasm, making it hard to breathe, cutting off the circulation and a blood flow to the brain, and it would lead to brain and heart failure. So what they would do is they would put blocks under their feet so that when they were feeling the pain of hanging on the cross, they would press down on the block on the bottom to take the pain off. It just that instinct to survive would be to push up on that painful feet just so you could breathe. But you can only handle the pain on your feet for so long until you would collapse again. And this would go repeat itself over and over and over again. They did this because a person's instinct to survive would push them to go longer. And so they could drag out the suffering for a person for up to 3 days. They would hang on the cross, hardly breathing, then pushing up to get some breath, and then collapse. Hardly breathing, pushing up to get some breath, then collapse. That would go on for up to 3 days. The Jews consider crucifixion the worst or a cursed form of death. Jesus being crucified is the worst death imaginable of that time, and we call it Good Friday. So what's so good about Friday? Well, certainly the way Jesus died was not good. The things that he suffered were not good. What he had to go through, the rejection and the pain and the suffering, was not good. But in the cross, we do see good. In the cross, we see God's love for us. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Can you imagine it? He died for us when we hated him. He died for us when we made fun of him, when we rejected him. I don't know, maybe the journey of your life's been like that, and where before you came to Jesus, before you came to God, and maybe that's your journey right now, you're not with Jesus right now. And you've laughed at and made fun of those who believed in him, and made fun of him, and of the cross, and all those different things. God still loves you. In fact, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to show his love for you. Jesus didn't talk about love with words. He expressed his love with action. In John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." So we see God's love. Also in the cross, we see healing. Since the beginning of Adam and Eve, since they fell and they sinned and they did all the things that they did, there's been sickness in this world. We have ear infections and asthma and allergies and arthritis, pneumonia, heart disease, cancer, and so many more sicknesses in our world today. In fact, sickness will always be in this fallen world. But there is hope. His name is Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Hear that? By his wounds, you have been healed. Didn't say you might be healed. You could be healed. You can be healed. It says, you have been healed. It's already done. It's already paid for. All we have to do is ask Jesus for that healing and say, "Jesus, I need you to touch me and heal me." Now, sometimes it doesn't happen as fast as I'd like it to happen. And I don't know why that is. I don't assume to know why that is. All I know is that Jesus heals. And so because of that, I'm going to keep asking him for that healing. So in the cross, we see the healing of Jesus. In the cross, we see payment for sin. What's sin? Sin is simply this: rebellion against God and his law. It's disobeying God and what he wants us to do, whether that's in the Ten Commandments or he's personally said something into your life and you say, "No, I'm not going to do that." Sin is rejecting God, not wanting God in your life at all. But Jesus, when he went to the cross, paid for that. See, with sin came such a debt so great that there was no possible way for us to pay it. It was impossible. That's the debt that sin caused. We can't pay it ourselves. In fact, the only way you can try is spend eternity in hell. And spending eternity in hell to try to pay for your own sin still is not enough. Jesus was the only one who was good enough to pay for our sin. He was the only one, because of his shed blood, the perfect sacrifice. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So we needed Jesus' blood to be shed, his death, to pay for our sin. That's how rotten and terrible sin is. Years ago, as we were driving down on a winter's day on a kind of a back county road, we seen a car in the ditch, and so I pulled over to help this person whose car had gone into the ditch. And as I was doing this and helping that person, two other cars went by, had a head-on collision, and one of the cars hit our car, which was on the side of the road, while Chris was still in the car. She had an injury from that accident. She had a problem with her arm and her shoulder for years. She suffered in a lot of pain and went to the doctor all the time and all kinds of physiotherapy and all and medication trying to heal this arm. Because I stopped and on the side of the road, Chris suffered. See, Jesus suffered because of my sin. He suffered because of our sin. It was years later that I began to think about it, because she's still dealing with this years later, 3 years after the fact. I'm thinking about how she's still suffering because of this action that I had done. And so finally it dawned on me, I should apologize to her. And so I said to her, 3 years after the fact, I said, Chris, please forgive me for causing you that you had to suffer for something that I did. I don't know, have you ever thought of that? And saying that to Jesus? Jesus, please forgive me that you had to suffer for something that I did or that I'm doing. Maybe even in silence right now, we take a moment to say that. Jesus, forgive me that you had to suffer for something that I did. Payment for sin, that's what we see in the cross. That's a pretty amazing thing. But there's even more than that. In the cross, we see victory over sin. See, in the ancient times, what they would do is when they were deciding a battle and they're going to fight, instead of all the armies getting together and fighting each other and being a massive loss of life, they would send two of their champions. And they would get together, and they were these two champions from either side would go on the battlefield, and they would fight each other. And the winner, whoever won, that army, that country was considered the winner, and the other country submitted to them. Jesus is our champion. He fought the devil and defeated him. He was, and is the undisputed winner. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory over through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross, and when he died, he went, after that, he went to hell, and he fought the devil for the keys of hell and death, and he defeated him. So he won over sin and death. He is the champion. So sin has no power over us anymore. Now, the only power it has is the power we give it. If we run after it, or if we give into it. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Jesus, we just turn to him, and he'll help us defeat it. So what's so good about Friday? Through Jesus' death on the cross, we receive God's love. We receive healing and forgiveness and victory over sin. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds like a good Friday to me. Why don't we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that You died on the cross. You died on the cross for our sins and all the things that we've done wrong, that you brought us healing, that you showed us your love and forgiveness we can receive, and that we can have victory. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for those things. If you just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a minute, if you're here today, and you're thinking as you're sitting there that I've never asked Jesus into my life. I've never asked to be forgiven of my sin, but you want to do that right now. I would encourage you in this moment right now just to say, Jesus, please forgive me. In fact, if you want to be set free and you want to know Jesus in your life, I would encourage you just to say this prayer to yourself after me, just between you and God. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm here right now. I admit I've done so many things wrong and that I need you. So right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you, please, forgive me of all my wrong. The Bible calls it sin. Come into my life. Save me, Lord Jesus. Help me have victory. In Jesus' name. Just with your head bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, that's the biggest decision you could ever make in your whole life. And on that, making that decision, we congratulate you as part of the family of God now. But there may be a lot of questions you have from that. And so we have some information we'd love to give to you with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just quickly raise your hand, we have people that would love to give that to you. Is there anyone here this morning? Just don't want to rush that. It's a very important moment. I know maybe you don't want to raise your hand now, but you can still get that same packet of information back at the guest services table. As we've been here this morning, we've talked about what God did for us on the cross. And maybe you're here this morning and you need healing. You need forgiveness. Maybe victory over sin. You're struggling with anxiety or bitterness or pain, depression. Maybe you have trouble in your marriage or you're concerned for your children. Unsaved family or friends. I'd encourage you, when you came in this morning, we gave you a little piece of paper. I'd encourage you, whatever you're struggling with, whatever's happening in your life, you just take a moment and write down on that piece of paper, whatever it is. Just take a moment and just to write down on that piece of paper whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're having a challenge with. Just write that down. Just going to give you a minute to do that. If you want a piece of paper, we do have some more. If the ushers can hand them to you, if you want to grab that and a pencil, and take a moment to write that down. What we're going to do this morning with those, in just a moment, we're going to take those and we're going to nail them to the cross. We're going to let